Joshua in chapter 5. Israel's making their final approach into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. And as they're journeying towards, they're met with a man with a sword in his hand, and that's where we're going to help if I was in Joshua and Judges. We're going to pick up there. Joshua chapter 5, and we'll begin in verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went in unto him, and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay. He didn't really seem to answer him in either way. He said, Are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, No. In other words, neither. We often view things in our life kind of the way that Joshua had said there. We view things either for me or against me. We tend to look at life through those glasses. Either whatever is for me at this moment or against me. What's right for me, what's wrong for me. I'm right, you're wrong. We tend to be very black and white. And truth is black and white. But the problem is, you and I can both be wrong. That's the problem. He said to this soldier that he thought that he had encountered, he said, Are you for us or for our adversaries? Are you for us or are you for our enemy? And that was how that he was looking at things. And again, we look at things through those eyes. We look at things very black and white. Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, Calvinist, Arminian, hot, cold. And we look at things that way. And there is such a thing as absolute truth. But the problem is we're not the source of it. That's where we go wrong. And we look at things that way. We consider everyone who is on our side to be right and everybody who is not on our side to be wrong, and that's not necessarily the case. When we look at things in the light of the judgment of God, when we look at things in the light of Him, and so what we had here in this passage, we have this one that stood over against him with his sword drawn, had his sword drawn, and he was standing there, and Joshua said, Are you for us or against us? And he said, Nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. I am captain of the Lord's armies. And I am here. And this is an interesting moment. The captain of the Lord's armies are here at this critical moment in Israel's history. And Joshua says, Are you for us or against us? And really, that was the wrong question. He said, No, but as a captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? The question, the right question is, Joshua, are you for the Lord or against the Lord? That's the proper question. And that's the proper way to approach truth. Are you for the Lord or against the Lord? But many times we interpret truth in another way. In the book of Judges, we find the phrase very early on, and that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And we do. We do what we believe to be as much as we can perceive to be right. If we perceive it to be wrong or wrong for us, then we avert our path and make a change. So we do what we really truly believe to be correct or correct in our situation. But oftentimes we're we're looking at things through the wrong way. He said, "Nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." He stood there with the sword drawn. You know, when I think about that sword drawn, turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." And we're looking at this in the light of truth this morning. And what is truth? And I mentioned that in light of God's judgment, there stands Joshua in front of this man with a sword drawn, the captain of the host of God. A vision that, you know, we will never probably see. But if we were to imagine ourselves faced with the power of God and faced with the judgment of God, if God were to come down and to examine our lives and to measure our lives, we look at things again in light of, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm for God, you're against God. But you know, when we're measured not by our measurement, but by the measurement of God, to think about that for a moment. Again, we tend to put on these glasses and we tend to look at things a certain way. We have a lot of Jacob in us. Pastor was preaching to us about Jacob a week ago, and in Genesis 42 and verse 36, Jacob looked at his life and he had those same kind of glasses. He said, "All these things, behold, all these things are against me." That was how he looked at his life. Either things that were for him or things that were against him, and he lived a very depressed life as a result of that. He was extremely depressed. He looked at it and said, "All these things are against me." But you know, when we look at things in the light of truth, when we study our Bibles in search of truth, not in search of what fits my agenda, you know, not what I want to believe, or not what, are we willing to just submit? That was the moment that Joshua came to. He said, "Are you for us or against us?" And he said, "No." The better question is, are you for the Lord? The ultimate example of submission that we see is of course, the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter number 12, if you'll turn there. Luke chapter number 12 and got the wrong passage again. had a dyslexic day writing down my passages. The verse I was looking for was probably John. Well, I've lost my passage, but anyhow, the example that I'm looking for is the Lord Jesus Christ there alone in the garden with the Lord, and he's there alone and he's sweating great drops of blood, and he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." In a moment there, he, being God, submits himself to either possibility. When you read that passage, he was submitted to either possibility, which both would be equally difficult. One, being forsaken by God the Father for that moment of time to have all of our sin placed upon him. The other, being to not redeem his people. Which we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, greatly desired to do. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him. He longed to redeem his people. And in that hour, he basically said to the Lord, not my will. Whichever of these, Lord, whichever cup you want me to drink, whichever one, I will be submitted to. We're called to this type of submission. You know, Israel had been 40 years wandering through the wilderness, fighting these enemies, fighting the Amalekites, fighting these, and they were very entrenched in their ideology. They were very entrenched in that. And they'd spent so long in such a polarized way. You know, and I get in a lot of debates online. I get in political debates all the time. And I shouldn't, but somebody says something and I just can't leave it alone. It drives me nuts. But you know, I get discouraged with both sides. All the time I get discouraged with both sides. Because if you think that everything a Democrat does is wrong, you're just as bad as a Democrat that thinks everything Bush did was wrong. Both of you are so entrenched in your ideology that you're not in a pursuit of truth. You're in a pursuit to be right. And we get stuck in that. And we get to where we can't admit that either other side might possibly have a good idea. You know, right now our governor is trying to pass a road bill and it won't pass until an equal number of Democrats and Republicans vote for it because neither one of them want to be blamed. So if the exact number vote on this side and exact number vote on this side, then they'll do it. And that's sad. But that's where we're at. And we get this way doctrinally. We get this way with our life. We get this way where we've been so entrenched in our ideology that we won't pursue truth. You know that you have a problem with this type of thinking when you're afraid to research. I was debating someone the other day and I said, you won't actually do the research, will you? You will not go and pull this book off the shelf and look because you're afraid. You're in love with your way of thinking. And we are. We get that way. We get in love with our mode and our way of thinking, and we don't want to be wrong. It hurts our pride. And so for that reason, we'll latch on, we'll dig deep. And I thought of this story of Joshua there as he came in light of, and he came there in the presence of the captain of the Lord's host. And it's a whole different ball game. Sometimes right, I believe rarely, will be democratic. Sometimes right will not be the way we have looked at the Bible. Sometimes right will not be the way that we necessarily have done things. Are we willing to pursue truth? You know, the Bible says that the Bereans were more noble than many of the other believers in their day in the book of Acts because they searched the Scriptures daily whether these things be so. Just a little story that I'll just leave you with. When I first went up to Frankfort, Michigan and began to work there, I did the mission work out of a church that had one difference than how I was raised. Belief-wise. But they were very good people. And they were strong Christians. And most everything we believed was exactly the same. And we would have occasional conversations about that one issue. And one day, I just determined to spend the whole day. I went to my home alone. I laid my Bible on the coffee table and I said, Lord, I really don't care either way. I don't care either way. I want to be on your side. Whatever this passage says, I just want to be there with you on it. Whatever it is, I want to know for sure. And I want to be pleasing to you. I know that I was raised this way, and they think this way, and Lord, I want to be on the page that you're on. And it was amazing to me, as I began to read passages that I could never decipher before in any way or the other. I read them and they were dark. And that's how the Bible describes it many times. The Bible describes it as dark sayings. In other words, you can't discern them. At that point in your life, you hadn't had enough light thus far given to you to discern them. And they were dark to me in the past, and that day the Lord opened them up and I couldn't hardly write fast enough. The things that He brought to my mind, other scriptures He showed me that I hadn't looked at before, and things just begun to open up. And this was a small issue, it really was. It was nothing of any importance, nothing that any church should ever break fellowship with over another church over or anything like that. It's not a big deal, but I wanted to know. I wanted to do the right thing. And it was amazing how that when I took that attitude, how the Lord moved in my heart and how He revealed things to me. And I was excited. I'd call some other preacher. I'd say, hey, did you ever see that? He said, oh, yeah, the Lord showed me that one time. That's pretty neat. And I'm like, wow, I thought I was the only one that saw that. That was neat. Notice thirdly, and we'll be done, the instruction there in Joshua chapter 5. Verse 14. Joshua fell, the middle of verse there, Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord to his servant? That's the attitude we need to take. I believe when we really recognize the presence of God, we will do that. We'll be a lot more careful about, am I right? Have I done the right thing? Have I made the right decision? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. Takes me back to being a little kid. I heard that so much. Mark, take your shoes off. Mark, take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. Where are you going? Take your shoes off, you know. You take your shoes off because you're entering into a place that's clean and holy. You take your shoes off and you proceed forward in a different way than you had been proceeding forward in the past. You proceed forward with a different level of respect and humility for the place that you're in. When we humble ourselves before God, determined to be on His side, we'll proceed forward in a far different way than we traveled to this point. I think of the verse in Ecclesiastes that says, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of the Lord. In other words, walk carefully. Proceed differently. Think differently. We all ought to embark on a pursuit of truth, on a pursuit of what is truly right, and being submitted to that, not what we have known to been right and what we have harbored in our heart, you know, politically, spiritually, whatever it may be. Maybe it's just the way that we view our home and the structure of it, or our career and where we put that in our life. Bring everything under the microscope and say, Lord, where do you want it? And proceed forward in a way that's different than you have traveled so far. With a different respect, with a different light. Not the light of, this is how I do things and this is how other people do things. Because we both could be wrong, really. And more often than not, I believe when we really stand before the judgment of God, we'll find that's more often the case. More often, rebuke lies on all of us before God. Not that some of us really had it down and others didn't. And so, proceed forward in a different way. with humility, submission to, Lord, whatever you would have me to do, whatever is right. I want to be right all the time. My wife thinks that I think I'm right all the time. But the fact of the matter is, we're just not. We really aren't. And so, the Word of God is that sword and that judgment of God that we have to line up with and pursue truth. Don't pursue to justify your side. That's pointless. Pursue truth. Pursue what God would have. That's a much better pursuit. We could be as polarized as can be. But if we pursue truth, we'll be in the right place. Unity will happen. It's an altogether different thing if people would pursue truth. Political debates would go away. But no one's interested in that. They're not interested in what is right and what is really right for the country. They're interested, both sides, in re-election, in how I look, in my pride. But if both sides pursued truth, you know, and that was, I hate to get political, but that was the plea at the end of the state address, is this state is a group of people, and we're all going to go in the ditch together if we go in the ditch, you know. So let's come together and pursue what is right. And I thought about that, and I thought, if people could understand what he was trying to say there, let's just come together and pursue the right thing for the state. That's an amazing thought. That would be amazing if politicians could do that. They never will. But it's an amazing thought. And if we would do that spiritually also, that would be amazing. But we'll stop there.